Good evening. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Thankful for the opportunity to be here with you this evening. Thankful for your pastor. I was thinking back, it's been a few years, but when your pastor started the preacher's school downstairs, he shared many things with us, but one of them was this: find a passage of Scripture that speaks to you. Find something simple. Find something that'll practically preach itself and stick with that. And I believe that's what we have here in Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." It's my prayer that we could leave here tonight with this passage of Scripture in our minds, but more so in our hearts. That Almighty God would use this passage of Scripture to speak peace to the hearts of His people. That He would be pleased to open the Scripture, this Scripture, to us, to His people. Look with me again at this verse. "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Now, I believe there are four points in this passage of Scripture. I'm sure there are many more, but let's just stick with four. And here's the first. There's one offering. One offering. Now, in the Old Testament, we read of many offerings. Many offerings and sacrifices that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were burnt offerings. The most notable was when God commanded to offer up His son Abraham to offer up His son Isaac as a burnt offering. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, look, beginning with verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up, and he went into the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand on the lad, neither do thou anything to him, For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Here we learn of Christ, our substitute. The Lord who provided himself as a lamb. That lamb that was offered. That lamb that was provided. He is the lamb. Christ is the lamb. God's the lamb. And he'll provide that lamb for himself. A lamb for his people. Satisfaction will be made. The Old Testament speaks of meal offerings. The Scriptures describe these offerings as offerings made of a memorial, an offering to bring iniquity to remembrance. There were peace offerings. The peace offering was to be made without blemish, to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. In 1 Peter 1:19, we read that we are redeemed. God's people are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Abel brought a lamb. He brought the firstlings of the flock, the fat thereof. The peace offering, it spoke of reconciliation. In Hebrews 2, verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. By the death of Christ, we have peace with Almighty God. By His suffering, by His death, Christ saves us from our sins, by satisfying God's law and God's justice. We also read of sin offerings. The sin offering was to be a blood sacrifice. The Passover lamb was a blood sacrifice. The life of the flesh. We read the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when that high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, he went in with blood. No man can come into God's presence without a blood atonement. Men don't speak much. Your pastor does, but most men don't say much of blood, the blood anymore. I heard Brother Don Fortner say this. He said, men are too educated. They're too refined, too sophisticated. Talking about the blood makes us squeamish. Huh? It sounds improper. It sounds rude, unsophisticated. But the Scriptures declare this: without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We must have the blood. Let me ask you, where is man? Where are we without the precious sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. I know you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs and with the pertness thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain till the morning. That which remaineth until the morning shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood, he said, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Look at verse 29 of the same chapter. It came to pass when your children shall say to you, what mean you by this service? I'm sorry, verse 29. It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Is the blood important? In Egypt there was death. We read there was a great cry. Can you imagine the cry that went out through the land that morning? There wasn't a house among the Egyptians where there wasn't death. But in Goshen, among the children of Israel, among those houses, they woke up and there was life. Don't you know they heard that? They heard that cry. I believe that was a great cry that went out of Egypt. They had to hear that cry, and they probably ran into the room to find that firstborn just to see. And there was life. Life. What was the difference? What was the difference? A blood sacrifice. Blood unto the Lord. The blood of the Lamb without blemish. Perfect. Sinless. A picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. A male of the first year in the prime of life. Not an old lamb out there in the barn that was ready to die. But one in the prime of life. Taken out from the sheep or the goats. From the field. A representative. Our Lord was taken from among men. And the whole assembly of the congregation were to kill that lamb. Those that were responsible for its death. That's us, isn't it? That is a description of His people. They were to kill it. Those for whom it was offered took part in that lamb's death. In verse 7 we read, take of the blood. Take of the blood. No salvation. No deliverance. Apart from the blood. The Scriptures declare, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that blood was to be applied to the two side posts and the upper door post. The blood of Christ, in like manner, is applied to our hearts. And we rest. We rest. Our Lord said, when I see the blood. You know, there was no reference there to anything man was doing. Man was to kill the lamb. Man was to take the blood and apply it. I'm sure one probably put a little extra blood on the door, but there's no reference to that. No talk of, well, what did you use to apply the blood, Todd? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, the plague, he said, the plague shall not be upon your house to destroy you. when I smite the land of Egypt. Judgment's coming. But to God's people, we rest under the blood of Christ. A blood offering unto the Lord. And by faith, again, they went into the house and they rested. Shut the door, resting in what God had promised. When I see the blood. A sin offering, a blood sacrifice. Well, we also read in God's Word of trespass offerings. When a man committed a sin through ignorance. I imagine we do that often, since everything we do is sin. Committed through ignorance. He was to bring a lamb, and if he couldn't afford a lamb, he was to bring a couple turtle doves or two pigeons. Bring it to the priest. And the priest would make atonement for him. Listen, sin, whether it's willful, whether it's done knowingly, or whether it's committed through ignorance, it doesn't change the fact that it is sin. A price has to be paid. Atonement has to be made. Now, all these Old Testament offerings, they point to our Lord Jesus Christ. These burnt offerings and meal offerings and peace offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings. They're all pictures. They all point to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they cannot take away sin. We could go out here and slay all the lambs and cattle we want to. Can never take away our sin. Our offerings, that which the man would call his offering, what he allegedly would do for God. The foolishness of that is beyond us, isn't it? They can never, never take away sin. Look back at Hebrews 10. Look back at beginning with verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For them would they not cease to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never, never take away sins. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down, the work being completed. He offered one sacrifice for sin for him, and he sat down. I can remember years ago working for a farmer across the road from me. And I'm going to tell you, if any of you have ever worked on the farm, it's hard work. It's hard labor. And he would have a list, take an old envelope. He'd write a list down there. And every time we'd finish something, he'd draw a line through it. And at the end of the day, about 5 or 6 o'clock, he'd get that list out, and he'd go back, and he'd look, and he'd scratch everything off. And you know what we'd do then? We'd sit down. We'd sit down. The work was finished. Well, I tell you, that was a relief. It just felt good to sit down. But you know what? That didn't last very long. Because the next day, there was another list. And the whole thing started all over and over. Isn't that what works religion is? Huh? We think we're resting. We think we've got everything done. It's never finished. It's never finished. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He made one offering for sin. And He sat down. He sat down. The work finished. His sacrifice accepted. His people sanctified. Our sins pardoned. There were many priests. There's just one Savior. There were many sacrifices. But our Lord, He made one sacrifice for sin forever. The Old Testament sacrifices, they were types. They pointed to, they pictured what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. But His sacrifice, it was effectual. It got the job done. Those sacrifices were offered again and again and again. We just read that they could never give peace. They could never take away sin. Our Lord made one sacrifice for sin. In Isaiah 53:10, we read, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." He suffered as our substitute. He suffered as our sin offering. He was made sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. God's word declares that he suffered above, beyond anything we could ever imagine. And yet He counted it joy. It was a joy for Him to suffer for His people. He suffered as our substitute, as our sin offering. God purposed it. God predestinated it. God willed it. And He brought it to pass. He made His soul an offering for sin. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And if we read on in Isaiah 53 about this one offering, we read He poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of men. He bore the sins of His people. He made intercession for the transgressors. Intercession on our behalf. And God's justice, God's holiness, which we can't even wrap our minds around, satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. How? By one offering. Well, back to our text, Hebrews 10:14. By one offering, that offering in which he was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, He hath perfected. Now, if something, I don't know much, but I know this. If something has to be made perfect, it's pretty safe to say that it wasn't to begin with. Prior to being made perfect, it wasn't. Perfect means this, without fault. It means complete, lacking nothing. The Scriptures declare it must be perfect to be accepted. Is that a description of any of us? Certainly isn't, is it? We're in no way are we perfect. How did the Scriptures, now some think they are, but how did the Scriptures declare man? What do they say about man? Well, in Adam, we're dead. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Colossians 2, verse 13, "You being dead in your sins." Ephesians 2, verse 1, "You hath he quickened, you hath he given life, that were dead in trespasses and sin." Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 16. Here we read a scripture that gives a pretty good description of our condition. Ezekiel chapter 16. Beginning in verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, a chain on thy neck. I put a jewel in thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked in gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper in the king. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Here we see our natural condition as a conceived in sin, as a newborn babe, helpless. And he said, none I pitied thee. Listen, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Is there any to help? Well, if there be any to help, it must come from Almighty God. We read, he said, I passed by thee. We weren't seeking him. We were in no condition to seek him. We can't seek him apart from him drawing us to himself. He sought us. We did not choose him. He chose us. We read he passed by. He saw us. And consider how he saw us. In our sinful condition. Polluted in our own blood. And yet he loved us. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In his mercy and in his grace, he speaks. He speaks life into the heart of the sinner. He said, I said unto thee when you were in your blood, live. You hath he quickened that were dead in trespasses and sin. Called from death unto life. He loved us. He covered our nakedness. He washed us with water. He clothed us. In verse 14 again we read, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. It was perfect. perfect. Why was it perfect? Answers that pretty quick, doesn't it? Through my comeliness, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God. It's His work. The entirety of it is His work. Perfect through His comeliness. Our text, that's what it declares. By one offering, He hath perfected. He hath perfected. He didn't help us to get perfect. He hath perfected. Spurgeon said this, the whole work whereby a lost sinner is lifted from the dunghill of sin, washed in the blood and made righteous, and exalted to eternal life and glory, it is of the Lord and of Him only. It's His work, the work of salvation. Well, back to our text, back here in Hebrews 10. By one offering, He hath perfected. Well, who did He do this for? Who did He perfect? Them that are sanctified. Them that are set apart. Set apart in eternal election. We're bound to give thanks always to God, to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Them that are sanctified, them who have no holiness but His holiness. We're made holy. Those chosen to be holy and without blame in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Those redeemed from all iniquity, cleansed and made pure by Him. Those regenerated by the Holy Ghost and made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will hear His voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We hear with the ear and with the heart as a result of God giving spiritual life in a dead sinner, opening our deaf ears. He said, I know them. There are those whom He does not know. Those to whom He said, depart from me. I never knew you. But He knows His sheep. He knows them that are His. Those whom God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those whom He hath perfected forever. Turn with me to John chapter 10. We read here of them. John chapter 10. Look, beginning with verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Those who hear His voice, those who He knows, those who He foreknew, those that will follow Him. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Those who have eternal life, those who shall never perish, those eternally secure in Christ. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Not them that are sanctified. And that leads me to the fourth and final point. Hebrews 10:14. By one offering, He hath perfected them that are sanctified. Now, I skipped a word.
I skipped a word. This that He has done for His people, them that are sanctified, it is forever. Forever. The entire work of salvation is of the Lord. Now listen, I can't think of anything that I can do that can't be undone. I could talk you into something. And somebody could come along the next day, probably quicker than that, and talk you out of it. I could build something. I've built things. And in a short time, somebody else could come and tear it down. But that's not so with God. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an eternal, with an everlasting salvation. We read that eternal life is in His Son. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, we read, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. Eternal life to those that are sanctified, those for whom He was made sin, those for whom have been perfected. They'll never perish. They'll never be lost. They'll never fall away. That's our hope. That's our peace. That's our comfort. That's our salvation. It's all of Him. It's all in Him. In whom He is. In what Christ has done. You know, God gave Solomon wisdom. He gave him wisdom. He gave him a wise and understanding heart like none other. And I do find that kind of the older I get, I'm kind of careful who I listen to. And I believe Solomon would be worth listening to. And he said this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. What He does forever. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful for God's Word? The comfort of God's Word by one offering. The Lord Jesus Christ. He made His soul an offering for sin. He hath perfected. He was made sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Them that are sanctified. Them that are set apart. Them that are made pure. Them that are cleansed and made holy in Christ. Forever. Forever. An everlasting covenant. An everlasting salvation. And again, nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. What God does, He does forever. I pray the Lord would comfort our hearts this evening. That He would, and in the days to come, we might think upon this Scripture. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We thank God for His Word. Thank God.